Well, this is our third Sunday of a season that we're dedicating extra time to God in prayer and fasting, Bible study, praise and worship. And we're calling this season Awaken. And we're moving towards Pentecost Sunday, which is like Eddie was mentioning, it's a big deal. You know, we have the coming of Christ and his birth, the Messiah to the earth for Christmas. We have his resurrection that we celebrate for Easter, resurrection season, and that's celebrating the new birth for us in Christ and all that Jesus has done for us, paid the price for us and paid the penalty for our sins so that we can truly live. But then we have Pentecost Sunday, which was the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church. And what a difference, and even in that what happened that day in the upper room is they were blown out into the streets and began to be empowered for ministry. And so we're celebrating. That's a couple Sundays from now. But during this season of Awaken, we're expecting leadership and leadership team here are expecting lives to be transformed. And that's the reason why I got into ministry is for transformation, for changed lives. It's frustrating if I feel like people are going backwards or maintaining, but to see transformation, I mean, I live for that. We're expecting more unity in the church. Over in the book of Acts, it says over and over about one accord. I'm praying for that for here, for unity and people coming together around a vision and a mission and the goals that the Lord has given to this church, Good News Church. Another thing I've really been praying about is for people to let go of some weights and sins. So that we can better reach for what God has for us. I'm believing for a greater desire for God's word, an intensity, a hunger for the things of God, to pray, to worship, to minister, greater passion for the lost. Every day in our world, we're coming across people that are lost, that desperately need God and are looking for God, and who's going to tell them, and who's going to show them the way. And we have the answers, but sometimes we get so busy and like, again, what Eddie was sharing about sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, we have you know, if we had a cure for cancer, we'd want to give that to people, right? And we, you know, want people to know what the answer is. Well, we have a cure for sin and hopelessness and defeat, and that answer is Jesus. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And we have that answer, and we need to be sensitive and to give that to others. We need to hear from God about answers to questions we may have. I want to see people grow in their faith. I want more boldness in this congregation. We have a bold congregation, but I want more of that. And when there's boldness, there's miracles. I want to see people stirred and excited about what God is doing. I mean, Christianity shouldn't be boring. Shouldn't be mundane. There should be a passion and intensity with believers, an excitement, a joy that we have in our lives. And then I want us to be prepared for a big summer of ministry around here at Good News Church. Summer is always a time of ministry and reaching out to others. We don't take a break and rest. We move forward in sharing the gospel with others. So we're going to continue today with Awaken. Everybody say Awaken.
Awaken.
Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. Paul talks on more than one occasion about the Christian life being a race. Are you remember that in the New Testament? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Read a couple of the instances where he talks about that. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. And so in our race, each of us has a race that we're running. We're running to win, not to lose, to win. We're not going through the motions. Shadow boxing, just, you know, kind of pretending. We are purposed in every step that we take, and we are running for an eternal prize, not just for a temporary prize here on the earth. We're running for an eternal prize. Now, wouldn't you like to have Paul's testimony in 2 Timothy? Let's read that. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering." Paul's talking about the end of his life here. He's coming to the end of his race. "And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith." I mean, I want that testimony. I don't want to just start strong and have some victories along the way. I want to finish well in my race. Start, run well, finish well. Now, I was reading about some people this week who have finished their race, and we call this chapter the Hall of Fame of Faith. Does anybody know what chapter that is? What was that? Hebrews 11. Let's read about a couple of people in the Hall of Fame of Faith. Hebrews 11, verse 4. These have some people that have finished their race well. Hebrews 11, verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." There are rewards for those that diligently seek God. "By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." You can read about these folks. You can go back and read about them in the Old Testament. By faith, Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua, Rahab, Gideon, Samson, David, Samuel, just to name a few. Again, they had their ups and downs. I could think about David. I could think about several of the other ones. They had their ups and downs, but they bounced back. Think about those in the New Testament. Peter, James, John, Paul, Timothy, Silas, Barnabas. All finished their race well. These were examples of people who remained faithful to the end. They stuck with what God told them to do, rebounded from huge mistakes. They never gave up, held fast to God's word, endured, and won their prize. And it was an eternal prize, not just accolades on earth, but eternal prize. And so now I have a question for you today. What about you? How's your race going? Do you even know that you're in a race? Are you running well? Are you running strong? Have you started strong and fizzled, or are you maintaining? Well, Hebrews 12 has some good advice for us. Right after Hebrews 11, talking about the Hall of Fame of Faith, the people that endured, here's some good advice for us. Hebrews 12, verse 1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." It's a good word for us today, especially during this season of awaken. A lot here. First of all, it talks about cloud, the cloud of witnesses. This is the grandstand of heaven, and certainly all the Old Testament saints that I was reading about here and the New Testament saints, they are there. They are cheering us on as we run our race. They are watching our faith. But also there's people in our lineage, people that we know are there, saints that have gone on before us, cheering us on. Now, if you were in a play and an actor, and a famous actor or actress came and was watching your play, do you think you'd perform with a little more intensity? You think you'd try to bring your A game? Let's say you were an athlete and an Olympic athlete champion came and was watching you that particular day. You think you'd perform a little harder? Chandler, you play golf. You know, let's say if Sergio Garcia or Tiger Woods came watch you play, would you kind of up your game a little bit? Pay a little more attention? It would affect you. And so we have that every day. These great saints of old are watching us, cheering us on every day. And of course, there's Jesus cheering us on. And Jesus has already run the race and won a great victory, defeated the devil. And he knows what it's like to run the race. He's not insensitive to whatever you're going through. He knows about every trial, every tribulation, everything you're dealing with, everything the enemy is throwing your way. He's run the race. He's won. And he wants to be in you, to empower you, to help you, to finish well, to finish strong, to run well. And I like this part is, there's a course already set. You know, when they have a cross-country meet, or even when you go to a track, they have a course that's already set and a lane for you to run in. It's been prearranged. Each one of us has a course set before us. But I can't run your race. I can encourage you, I can strengthen you, I can guide you, I can mentor you, but I can't run your race. You have to be willing, you have to be open, you have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you have to want it in order to run your race well and to find your course. Jesus is the author and the finisher, the developer of our faith. He authorizes our faith. He helps develop it. And I love Philippians 4:13. I want to read this to you in the Amplified. Jesus is an empowerer. He does that through the Holy Spirit. But Philippians 4, verse 13, and anybody here that wants to run your race well, you ought to know this verse. You ought to have it memorized. You ought to think about it every day. Philippians 4:13 Amplified. I have strength for all things. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. Say, He empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through Him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ. Sufficiency. So he's not just saying, run the race, there's the course, run it. No, he's there at the beginning, he's there at the middle, he's there at the end. He's an expert, and he wants to help you in your race. But again, we got to be sensitive, we got to be open, we've got to want the help, we have to desire the help. Now, he does have something for us to do here. And all of us have to do this. We have to lay aside every weight and sin. We have to. Now, God will help us. But we have to want it. We have to desire it. Lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us. This word weight is a burden. It's extra bulk. It's a heaviness. And a weight to a runner will slow him down. This word sin means offense. It means missing the mark, violating God's law. The Bible says the wages of sin, there's a wage, is death. And we've learned, Pastor Susie has taught us this about that word death. One of the meanings of the word death is misery. The wages of sin is misery. And eventually will lead to death. But both the weight and the sin ensnares us. And what that means is it thwarts us, it stops us from running well. It challenges us. It's a barrier. It's a hindrance. And that's why we've been talking about during this season of prayer and fasting, you know, about being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes we have blind spots, things we don't see until we just take some extra time, spending time in God's presence. Sometimes we just get so busy and in such a rush. But we take some time, and fasting is putting down the flesh, so we can be more sensitive to the Spirit of God. And sometimes maybe that's why we avoid prayer and fasting, because maybe we don't want to hear. Sometimes we like some of these things that the flesh likes. But when a runner runs a race, and if you want to run a race well, you want to be as light as possible. And you watch, you know, anybody watch the Olympics? I mean, they've got on the lightest clothing possible. Sometimes it almost seems like not enough clothes. I mean, they're, you know, anything. I mean, they shave the hair on their legs and body. Anything to make them lighter. I mean, I don't know about how that's going to affect things, but. And they discipline their body, and they shed pounds and add muscle, strength, doing whatever they can so they can be as fast as possible. And to run well. And so you can see how sins and weights, how that'll slow you down. This word lay aside means not only to lay it down, it means to lay it down and push it out of your reach so you can't reach it. Lay it down, push it away from you. Now, we don't like to read this very much, and I probably maybe one time and a couple times in 20 years of ministry, but Galatians 5 talks about sins of the flesh. And we don't spend a lot of time there, but I think I need to read it today. Because we're talking about weights and sins. Galatians 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication. I'm not going to take time to tell you the definition of each of these. You can go back and study these out. Adultery. A lot of these we know. We don't have to look at the definition. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people, this last verse here, they'll look at this and say, well, yeah, if you're practicing, now we're talking about practice, it's a habit. You practice sin, well, then you're going to hell. You're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But you study this out, it means a couple things, and it's not talking about not going to heaven. But what it is talking about here, you're not going to inherit kingdom benefits. In God's kingdom, there's benefits. Then it also, and I just found this out yesterday, I had never seen this, it also talks about our authority, that sin weakens and hinders our authority in the kingdom. So weights and sins slow us down. We don't run our race well. It affects the benefits of the kingdom. Now, what about weights? What about weights? Now, weights, and again, I know it's a fine line between a weight and a sin. But weights could be, I'm just going to name a few. I'm not going to look at anybody here. TV. Just say amen or ouch or oh me or something. TV, internet. When I get to yours, just go ahead and raise your hand. TV, internet, social media, cell phones, video games, movies, books, food. Taking care of our bodies, attitudes. Did I hear someone say preach? Don't give me too much encouragement now today. Attitudes, political views. I saw a whole lot of weights on people during this last campaign season. Saw it in people's discussion. Certainly saw it on Facebook. People battling it out. Believers. Same church. Weights. And so sins, habits, weights, attitudes. These are things that hold us back. Now, most of the time, we already know what they are. Now, like I said, there are blind spots. And sometimes we need others to say something, although we don't like that. But we need some people in our lives that speak the truth in love. We need that. You need that. Every one of us needs that. We need coaches. We need mentors. And I have people all the time say, oh yeah, go ahead and correct me anytime. But then if I am led to do it, they don't like it. They get mad. Now I know there are some people that feel like they have the ministry of correction, which I can't find that in the Bible. So if you think you have that ministry, you might want to talk to me after service. It's actually called the ministry of reconciliation in 2 Corinthians 5. That's a little bit different. But if you have some blind spots, enduring seasons of prayer and fasting, those blind spots will be revealed if you're open. Being open to the Spirit of God. And as you're spending time in prayer, He's going to show you things. Now, I want to do a little demonstration of weights and sins, the difference. Where's my man Grayson? Grayson, come on up here. Grayson is always good for any kind of illustration. You better pray on the way up here, buddy. You're going down, brother. No, you're not. Come here, son. I don't want to. Come on over here. Come close to me. Love you. All right, Grayson, what I want you to do is I want you to run to your brother as fast as you can and run back here. Give me that phone.
What's it mean, do it again?
Ready? Go! Come on, let's cheer him on. Come on, Grayson. Go, come on, buddy. Come on. That was pretty good. He wasn't even in his track close.
I wasn't.
All right, let's run this same race, but maybe we need to add a little weight.
Oh, no.
I seriously thought about Frank. I did. Nate, Pastor Nate, come on up here. All right, let's strap it on the back there. Come on. Okay. I want you to Harry and back. Ready, set, go. Let's cheer him on. Come on. Come on. Now, I want you to know we had some sin going on here. Some cheating. All right, that was a wait. We need to add a little sin.
No.
Coleman, come on up here. Now, Coleman, what sin does, sin is a misery. And so, I don't know. I'll tell you, just devise something here. We're going to have the weight back on Grayson's back, but then you got to give him a little misery.
All right.
As he runs back over to Harry and back.
Sounds good.
Okay, you ready? Okay, come on, guys. All right, Grayson, this is all this training. All right, let's cheer him on. Come on. Come on. Come on, Gray. You can do it, buddy. Let's give sin and the weight and the believer a hand here. Don't you, when you let it go, don't you feel better? That really is illustration of what it's really like. And in our lives, we're not laughing too much. I mean, we strap these weights on ourselves, and we're wondering why we're not running fast. And then you add sin, and we're miserable. It's thwarting us. It's stopping us. It's ensnaring us. And the Bible says in Hebrews, lay it aside. And that's something that no one else can do for you. You've got to lay it aside. You've got to lay it aside, lay it down, and then push it out of your reach. Grayson, by the way, good job, man. You are a trooper. I'm taking you to lunch today. Grad lunch. Taking you, okay. Philippians 3, verse 12. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed for me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past, laying some things down, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Now, we're going to, you know, immediately say, well, the people with the most willpower then are going to be able to run the best races. Well, I've got a good verse that kind of just blows that theory out of the water. Philippians 2, verse 12. Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I am away, it is even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. I mean, that is awesome. He's working in you and giving you power, giving you strength. Now we have to, by faith, lay it down, lay it aside, push it away. But if we're open to the Holy Spirit and to God and to His grace, because it's not about willpower. That's under the law. Who has the most willpower? But even then, they're not winning, because they're like that, you know, the hamster on the wheel. They're spinning. They're going. They may be spinning faster than everybody else, but they're not getting anywhere either. When I was in Nigeria, I mean, it's amazing to go on one of these trips, and the preparation for that trip, probably more so than any trip I've been on, privilege of going to 16 nations, but on this particular trip, I'm dealing with a lot of fear. I made the mistake of reading too much about what was happening in the country and, you know, the State Department website and all that, and I went to get different shots, and the ladies tell me about all the diseases, and I mean, it was really messing with my mind. Enemy likes to bring fear. And so, you know, just a lot of preparation and getting ready for the trip, and, you know, but I was just spending time in prayer, and on the way over there, I had praise music and things I was studying, and then I got there and spent a lot of time in prayer during the day and during the meetings. And there were really powerful meetings. I mean, there was 12,000 people in this tent that we were at, and 5,000 people at night would come out sitting outside. And just some amazing meetings. And there was talking a lot about weights and sins during the meeting and laying things down. And I just saw some really powerful moves of the Holy Spirit with people. And probably some of the most amazing services I've ever been. I mean, a lot of services over the years, but just amazing the things that I saw and the testimonies. And one of the things, and I was involved in it as well. I mean, I laid some things down. One of the things I laid down is I started playing this golf game on my iPad. And I used to really, I love golf and played a lot, and but right now in my life, just don't have a whole lot of time for it. And I started playing this golf game, and before I know it, I'm just spending a whole lot of time playing it. And it's like, I can't stop. And so had got over there to Nigeria, and just in the time of prayer, I just felt the Holy Spirit said, you know, this isn't a sin, but this is a weight. You need to lay it down. And so I did. And Not a minute since. Something that had slowed me down in my race. Now, a while back, we got rid of cable at our house. And, you know, we said it was for economic reasons, and it was. It saved a bunch of money. But I had some issues with TV. Now, I love sports. I like sports a lot. I like it. How about I won't love it? I like sports. Played a lot of sports growing up. I think my brother and I, we counted 22 different sports that we played. And so, you know, I'm from Minnesota. Hockey. I haven't watched hockey. I like hockey. Basketball. Football. Baseball. All the sports. Golf. I even like to watch golf. During basketball season, didn't watch one college basketball game all season, but I'm watching the Final Four. Football. I mean, all these different things. Saturdays, college football. I'm getting into some territory right now. And they've got it all planned out. They've got something basically every night. Or find myself staying up late watching TV. Oh, this is going to relax me and rest from a big day. And so I tell you, that right there was a huge thing for our family and for me, just to lay it down, push it away. Now, I had some issues in my body. Last August, coming back from Australia, I was tired. I was wore out. Had 4 international trips. And, you know, I'm just not going to be able to do this. But here I'm saying, Lord, here I am, send me. But yet I'm not in a position to go. So Susie and I just love how she does things. We got back like on a Thursday. She has Corey Tiller, her trainer, show up on Tuesday. I was mad. I did not want to be trained that day. I don't want to be trained any day. And then not only is he training us physically, he gave us a meal plan. That's not fair. But I tell you, it's been almost 9 months now, and I am so glad because I am lighter. But I just feel so much better. Went on this trip to Nigeria, physically, I mean, spiritually it was a battle, but physically well prepared for it. Recovery time coming back was not as long. Fine on the flights, strong while I was there, a lot of energy. And so as we've been having this season of prayer and fasting and for Awaken here, we're heading into Pentecost Sunday. Many here have participated. And if you should just be so bold, if you have already laid something down, a weight or a sin, already laid it down, or you already know that you're going to because the Lord has shown you, raise your hand. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. What you know, and I don't know what the percentage was there, but what's that going to do to the church? What's that going to do to the church and how we operate and how we do ministry? If just the leaders... just the leaders were to lay aside some things. What kind of impact would that have on the church? You know, the Bible talks over and over about leadership, leading the way, and so many times we want other people to do things that we're not willing to do. Now, I've been praying for the leaders. And I've been praying for the core members, people that have been here at the church a long time. Because it's easy to get comfortable. It's easy to get sloppy. It's easy just to put up with things. Oh, I'm not going to do fasting. I don't do fasting. I'm not going to go over there to the church and pray for an hour. I don't do that. Well, I mean, and again, it's not about works and earning anything from God, because you're not getting any points in heaven. But the question I have for you is, do you want to run your race well? Do you want to finish well? Do you want to be strong during the race? And so, I don't know. I mean, I'm not judging anybody. I don't have the answers for you, what you need to do. But I just really want to challenge you and encourage you during this season of Awaken. Take it to heart. What can God do? He's in the transformation business. Is deliverance only for back when you were saved? How many know, I mean, you know, and you can look at a car engine or all the different things, as you just, the wear and tear, gunk builds up. I mean, just come look at my drain in my sink at home. You don't want to. I'll clean that thing out, man. It's nasty. It just needs to be cleaned. The water is not going through properly. It's slowed down. I got to go in there and clean that thing out. And it ain't pretty. But there has to be in your heart a desire. Bible says in Psalms, delight thyself in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. But what's so amazing about that is, as we're praying these dangerous prayers, here I am, send me. Ask of me, I'll give you the nations. Send forth the laborers into the harvest field. Not my will be done, but yours be done. I mean, these are dangerous prayers. And you may start off praying them. We've been praying them during the season. And you may not feel nothing. But you get in there and you work with the Holy Spirit. I tell you, desire begins to change. And you'll find some passion there and pray in those things. And you want it. Oh, you want me to lay that aside so I can reach towards the high calling and towards the prize, towards eternal things? I'm going to let it go. And the beauty of it is when you do that, He'll empower you. He'll empower you to reach and He'll empower you to let go. I just want to encourage you today. We're in this together. God's taken us somewhere. He's got an amazing plan for your life. But don't let weights and sins, and we're all dealing with it. Jesus knew we would. The Bible talks about it. Don't let it hold you back. Let's make some decisions during this season. And maybe I've even some today will make this decision. But let's lay it aside. He'll help you, but you got to desire it. You got to want it. Everybody stand, please. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Just go ahead and talk to the Lord. And this is really hard. I know there's some, and I had to do this, and it was painful. I had a group of guys that I hung out with during high school, and we got into a lot of trouble. Good Catholic boys. And in order for me to move forward, I had to, I mean, I love them, but I had to say, we can't hang out right now. Because the way you're going, taking me back into these things I want to be free from. So you may be in that situation. You may have some people in your life. You got to say, hey, And you may not be able to hang around with them until you get stronger, where you can go back and share the gospel with them. But you can't let them pull you back and pull you down. The enemy's trying to ensnare you. He's trying to stop you. He's trying to thwart you. But Jesus has won the victory. Jesus will empower you. Jesus will set you free. So, Father, we just thank you right now at Good News Church. We just lay it down. Lay it down. We lay it down right now in the name of Jesus. And we push it away. Push it away in the name of Jesus. And then I just thank you for Holy Spirit power coming right now. Holy Spirit power coming to empower us, coming to strengthen us, infuse us with inner strength right now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your help, your strengthening right now in the name of Jesus. And I declare as a church and as families and marriages for individuals, we are moving forward in the name of Jesus. Pressing in the name of Jesus. Running our race strong. Running it well. So we thank you, Lord. And Father, we'll tell the testimonies. We'll tell the testimonies, Father, of transformation, of victory, of freedom. So we thank you for it. We give you praise in the name of Jesus.